My name is Barry O'Carroll. I'm the Assistant Coordinator of Europe Direct, Blanchardstown Library. The EU COVID Digital Certificate came into effect on the 19th of July. Most of those who have been fully vaccinated have received their certificate by now. I spoke to Minister of State at the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, Oisin Smith, to find out more about the purpose of the certificate, who can obtain one, how it can be obtained, and how the digital COVID certificate can facilitate travel and services such as indoor dining. Good morning, Minister Smith, and thank you for agreeing to speak to me this morning about the EU digital COVID certificate.
Hi, Barry. Thanks very much. My pleasure.
Thank you. I'm just going to start off. What is the purpose of the EU digital COVID certificate?
Well, the purpose is to be a proof that you have been either vaccinated or that you've recovered from COVID or that you've been tested. And the idea is to make a common format that everybody will recognise all around the European Union. Similar, I suppose, to a passport or something, that you have something that is recognisable and that when you arrive at a foreign airport, that they will see this and they'll know what it is. And really what the problem that it's trying to solve is that up to now, people have been arriving at the airport with bits of paper from their different vaccination or testing service. And the person at the other end is examining it and they're trying to figure out, is this genuine? Is this actually testing what it says it is? Where does it come from? Does it relate to the person? And it takes a long time to process those. So we are not, up to now, we really haven't had a degree of certainty that these documents are valid. And it's taking a very long time to process. So the fear was that if a lot of people started going through the airport again, it would take too long to check all the documents and there would be huge queues. And then you'd have a lot of people pushing together unsafely in the airport. So for the sake of efficiency, to get foreign travel working again and to get it working safely, we needed something that you could really quickly scan and you could just go beep, yes or no on each one. And that was the point of having a QR code on the back. That somebody with a scanner at immigration or at departure could quickly just check and go, yeah, this person is vaccinated or tested or recovered. So that's what the digital COVID cert is. It's a piece of paper or something on your phone that everybody in Europe can recognize, and that should allow us to return to free movement around Europe safely.
And you just alluded to there that there are three different types of COVID certificates, aren't there? Or three ways of getting a certificate. Could you elaborate on that?
So I think the European Union didn't want to say that people had to be vaccinated in order to travel, and because they didn't want to make people feel that they were being forced into vaccination. So they wanted to give them two alternatives. One alternative is that you've had COVID in the last 6 months, and in that case, you know, you're expected to have some antibodies in your system, some immunity. So if you've been tested positively for COVID in the last 180 days, you can ask for a COVID certificate. And if you have not been tested positive, you've not been vaccinated, you can go and get yourself tested. You can get either a PCR test or an antigen test at a testing service a couple of days before you leave, and you can use that to enter most countries. So that they're the three types of certificate: a test cert, a recovery cert, and a vaccination cert. So that really the DCC is three types of cert.
Okay, and so I've been fully vaccinated. How do I actually receive the cert? Do I have to do anything?
So in Ireland, you shouldn't have to do anything. We took the decision that we would send everybody a copy of their certificate in the post or in the email. If we had an email address for them, we'd send it by email and then let you use that to travel. So you don't have to do anything in theory. You should get it in the post. We've sent out 2.5 million of them now at this stage. So a lot of people, have you had yours?
I can attest to that. I'm holding my digital COVID certificate right here, and I also received an email. And I got that within a day of my second vaccination. So
very good. So we've been trying to get, like, it's not just getting all the people who've been vaccinated and sending them all out in one batch. Every day, people are getting their second dose. So roughly 25,000 people every day get their second dose. So every day, every morning, we send out another 25,000 vaccination certs to people. So, I mean, that's not going to go on forever. Obviously, we're going to get to a point where, you know, there aren't 25,000 people getting a second dose every day. So it's going to peter out. But at the moment, we're banging through them at a rate of knots. And that's how it works.
That's really great to hear. And is there a difference if I've been vaccinated at a mass vaccination centre, my GP, a pharmacy? Is there a difference in how I'd receive my certificate?
Yeah, so I guess there are really four main places you could get vaccinated. Your GP, so elderly people get vaccinated, their GP early on, and also people with chronic illness. Some people got vaccinated at a hospital, particularly healthcare workers. Some people got vaccinated at their pharmacy. So I think younger people were told they could go up to the pharmacy and get a vaccine. A lot of people got the Janssen vaccine that way, and some people are getting Pfizer that way as well. And then finally, there's the mass vaccination center. So that's where you register online and then you call around to your local stadium type place, you know, Croke Park or Aviva or something, and you get your City West and you get vaccinated there. So from my point of view, I'm in charge of data and computers and stuff in the government. The best data quality I'm getting is from the mass vaccination centers. And it's easy to understand because you have to register online. And when you registered, you put in your email address, and then it sent you an email to make sure there wasn't an error in the email address. You need to click the link. And also they collected your phone number, you know, your air code, your PPS number. So all this stuff was really carefully validated. And we've had a really high rate of really good data quality from that. But our data quality has not been as high from hospitals and nursing homes and so on. And that's partly because at the start of the year, there was a massive rush to get people vaccinated as quickly as possible. And, you know, if you were trying to vaccinate staff in an ICU, you weren't going to say to them, look, you know, I need your PPS number, or I need, you know, you weren't going to make them wait around for a computer system to be in place. We were just vaccinating people as quickly as possible. And in many cases, writing down their details on pieces of paper for typing in later. So we have had data quality problems, particularly from January and February, but they're all being fixed over time. And it is important that we do have a complete record of everyone who has been vaccinated. So that's really helping.
Yeah, and I can tell you my own parents who got vaccinated by their GP did receive their certificate very quickly afterwards. So, I mean, I think some of those issues seem to be being resolved. And I want to ask, you know,
did your parents get their cert by post or did they get it by email?
They got it by post, actually, as it happens. Yeah. Yes.
Well, obviously, we'd prefer to send them by email. It's cheaper and faster. But not everyone who got vaccinated had their email address collected at that time. So, you know, if we did get an email address from the doctor, we used it, but not everyone did. And I think perhaps some elderly people perhaps aren't even using email. So we had to accommodate everyone. So at the end of the day, roughly half of them, we sent a million letters and probably 1.5 million emails.
That's quite a lot. It's a huge operation. And I just want to ask, I have a nephew and niece who have both recovered from COVID, thankfully recovered. How would they prove that they've recovered from COVID in order to get a digital COVID certificate?
Okay, so the way this works is that you have to have tested positive with the HSE. In other words, you must have gone to an HSE test center, been tested and tested positive. So if you had COVID, but you were never actually tested, and you just were sort of sick at home and you isolated, then they won't have a record and they won't be able to give you a recovery certificate. But in order to request a recovery certificate, you have to go to the recovery certificate portal, which is an online web address. And perhaps you can give that, I don't have it to hand, but perhaps you can give out that URL to people.
I will find that and put the link underneath this video. Yes.
Yeah. So in other words, you go online, you tell them, you give them all your details, and then the HSE will look up to see if they've got a record of you testing positive. It's got to be more than 11 days ago that you tested positive to give you time to get better, but it's also got to be less than 180 days ago, so 6 months. And your recovery really only lasts for 6 months. So if you tested positive 5 months ago, then your recovery cert is only valid for another month. So you can see that recovery certs don't last as long as vaccination certs. Test certificates are the shortest. An antigen test cert lasts for 48 hours. A PCR test lasts for 72 hours. So they all last for different periods of time.
Okay, you actually just alluded to the very next question I was going to ask. So if I've received a negative COVID test result, how do I get the certificate in that situation? And also, You mentioned a PCR test. So it can be a PCR test. It can be an antigen test. And there's also something called a lateral flow test. Are they all acceptable? And once you've tested negative, what happens next in terms of the certificate?
Okay, so the most important thing is if you're traveling, if you're getting involved in international travel, you're going on a trip, you need to go to the Reopen EU website And this is the European Commission has made this website that's got all the rules in 27 different European countries, which keep changing all the time. So this is the kind of the central repository of what the rules are. So for example, if you're going to France, you go to Reopen EU, you say, I'm going from Ireland to France, and then it will list all the rules for entering France. Now, the destination country may be accepting an antigen test for entry, or they may say only a PCR test, but you need to check that first. And then you need to get tested before you leave. Shortly before you leave, 72 hours, within 72 hours for a PCR test, within 48 hours for an antigen test or a lateral flow test, which is a type of antigen test. So you go along to one of the laboratories that or one of the test services that are authorized by the government. And you could, if you ask them, and we have a list of them on gov.ie, there's a number of them and to choose from. And if you check with your testing service first, whether they can issue you with the DCC, then what will happen is they will test you. And when they've decided that you're negative, they'll email you your cert and you'll be ready to go. Some of them will do it at the airport within a couple of hours of departure. So you can even a few hours beforehand, you can get tested. But if you're going to a country that requires a PCR test, you're going to have to get it at least a day before you go, so you've got time to get the results. It takes a while to process them. I think that some antigen tests can be done in an hour, but PCR tests generally take a day. So those are the things I suppose to remember if you're traveling, is that you check the Reopen EU website for the destination rules of the country that you're traveling to. You also need to fill in an electronic passenger locator form, which is going to be used for contact tracing. If somebody on your plane happened to have tested positive for COVID, then all the people on the plane need to be traced afterwards. You need to fill that in. You need to arrive at the airport a little earlier than usual. I think Aer Lingus is recommending 2 hours, but whatever you normally arrive at the airport, arrive a little earlier, just so you're sure and you've got all your bits of paper in order before you travel. So those are my recommended things. And of course, you're going to have to bring either on your phone, but even better, I would actually print it out and bring it in paper in case your phone runs out of battery. Bring your COVID cert or your proof of vaccination. If you're returning to Ireland, the antigen tests are not accepted for returning into Ireland. You must have a PCR test or be vaccinated. If you don't have one of these digital COVID certs, you can return into the country with your piece of card that the HSE gave you when you got vaccinated. In other words, your vaccination card will also get you in to the Irish authorities will accept that coming into Ireland. So if you're having difficulty getting a DCC issued, but you're coming home to Ireland, you'll be fine so long as you can prove you've been vaccinated.
I think the key takeaway there is that it is really important to do your homework before traveling, really, and the Open EU website, Reopen website seems to be the place to do it. So again, I'll make sure to provide the link to that. And I do have friends traveling shortly to France as it happens. And I've been telling them, do your homework beforehand, be 100% certain of everything. And can I just confirm, the certificates are free. There's no charge for a digital COVID certificate.
Yeah, and that's actually sort of, it's the same across Europe. So the agreement was in the European Union was that no country would charge for certificates. However, if you want to get a test certificate, you're going to have to pay the private tester to carry out the test. So the certificate is free, but the test is whatever they charge you, which could be something like 50 to 100 euros or something, depending on what test you're getting.
So it's important to be aware of that. And yeah, you've already mentioned that if you get a certificate based on having previously recovered from COVID, you know, the length of time that the certificate is valid from can vary depending on when you recovered. And for the other types of certificate, how long are they valid for if you've been vaccinated, for example? Is there a time limit?
So the vaccination certs don't have a time limit, although at the moment it's expected that the DCC system, the digital COVID cert system, will be in operation for a year. So that's the kind of current expectation. I think that everybody expects that booster shots for vaccines will be provided at least annually. So you'd expect that it's going to be a kind of an annual jab, if not sooner. So at the moment, there is no expiry date on a vaccination certificate. So one of the things you want to check when you go away, and you've reminded me of this, when you go to the Reopen EU website and you're looking at the destination country's rules, one of the rules is how many days after your final dose do you have to wait until you're fully vaccinated?
Yes.
So in Ireland, it's 14 days after every vaccine apart from Pfizer, which is 7 days. But other countries have come up with different rules on this. So you want to check that. And also, children don't have to be tested or vaccinated have to prove that they're tested or vaccinated in most countries. But there's a different age definition of what a child is. So in Ireland, it's under 12s, don't have to have any kind of cert or anything. But you'd need to check the destination rules of the country you're going to see what they consider to be a child. So those are two of the things to look out for: the number of days after you've had your final dose, and what age a child is considered to be vaccinated at. What age a child is exempt from having to do a test or have a vaccine. Obviously, vaccines can't be used on kids under 12 because they're not licensed for them. So, you know, they need some other route. Either you're going to test them or you're just going to say you're fine to go. You know, you don't have to.
Is there a lower age limit for the certificates? Or
no, there isn't. There's no actual age limit for certificates. But in practice, children don't have to do tests, so you wouldn't need to get one. And also, in practice, children below 12 can't get vaccinated. So again, you can't ask them to get vaccinated. Yeah.
And so again, but it's really important to check what the rules are in the country you're traveling to. Exactly. In terms of children.
It's called reopen.europa.eu. So that's what you really need to check.
Okay. So, and this is you mentioned about having a paper version of it, which again I have here. You showed one earlier. I can store this on the COVID tracker app. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So your COVID tracker app, which, as you know, was designed to give you bits of information about how the disease is going, but also to alert you if you've been in contact with somebody who might have COVID. That tracker app, if you update it at the App Store, so if you go to your App Store and then choose to update it, it has a function now where it can scan in a QR code. It will scan in the details of your digital COVID certificate, and it will store all the information on your phone. And that's handy then if you're going to a restaurant or a cafe or going through an airport, that you have it on your phone. I'd say it's a backup though to having the paper as well. So, but it is good. It's handy to have. Now, to get it onto that COVID tracker app is a little tricky. You either have to print it out first and then scan it from your phone, or have it on a laptop and then scan it from your phone, or have it on somebody else's phone. So you need to scan it from one thing to another. But once you do, all you have to do is point your phone at the barcode, and all the information about your vaccination and your name and your identity are all stored within that pattern of dots. So it'll all be in your phone automatically.
Absolutely. And I can show that there's an example. I don't know if that can be, probably can't be seen there, but I did that the other day, and it was very simple procedure. One scan and everything was stored automatically.
And have you tried using it yet? Have you been to a cafe or anything?
Not yet, but I intend to this weekend. My wife will be officially fully vaccinated by then. Her 7 days will have passed, so we'll be able to start doing some normal activities again. we're all looking forward to that. And just, we've had a query, which is quite interesting, is will non-EU citizens living in Ireland or non-EU spouses, say family members of EU citizens living in Ireland, will they be eligible for the digital COVID certificate?
Yes, they will. So the digital COVID cert is not based on citizenship. It's based on residency. So if you live in Ireland, regardless of your what passport you have or what country you're from, you can ask for digital COVID cert. And the vaccination program was open to everybody who lives in Ireland. It wasn't like you have to show a passport to get vaccinated, because it's just all the people who live in Ireland. So yes, you can get a digital COVID cert. It's free, in the same way you can get vaccinated for free if you are living in Ireland.
Okay, and I also have a member of the public who asks, what happens for Irish citizens who've been vaccinated outside of Ireland? And they want to know specifically people living in the UK and the US, for example, outside of the EU. What would happen for those people who wish to travel back to Ireland? And what's acceptable?
So, yeah, at this stage, in our initial phase of the digital COVID cert, we are offering certificates to people who have been vaccinated or tested or recovered in Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland. And we're not offering it to people who have been vaccinated in another country, however, or by another jurisdiction. However, there is, within the digital COVID cert rule regulations that come from the EU, they do say that a country can choose to accept another country's vaccination system as being valid and can start issuing digital COVID certs to people who've been vaccinated in other countries. And we are looking at that for the second phase, because obviously there are a number of different categories. Some people living in the Republic of Ireland went up to Northern Ireland to get vaccinated, you know, early on, because they were offering it earlier, and perhaps they'd been to a GP there earlier, or they're from Northern Ireland as well. And some people live in Northern Ireland, but they have an Irish passport, and they've been vaccinated there. So, and then we even have people who got one dose in one country and one in another, and so on. So we're trying to meet the needs of all those people. What I can say is that if you have a Northern Ireland, if you were vaccinated in Northern Ireland, the Northern Irish authorities will give you their certificate, which has a QR code on it, and you can load it into the COVID checker app, the COVID tracker app, the same way that you did, and you can use that if you are, you know, in a restaurant or a bar or whatever in Ireland, you know, and that's working. So I'm glad to see that. But any, we're trying to iron around the edges of that. It is easy to move between Britain and Ireland at the moment. Obviously, there's no restriction on moving across the border.
And with the US, has anything been arranged yet? Is that?
No. And I'm not sure if anybody's looking at that either. But what I can say is that vaccinated people from the United States can enter Ireland without going through any isolation or having to show a negative test or anything like this. And that a vaccinated person from the US or the UK or wherever can just take out their proof of vaccination and use that to get into a bar or restaurant. So I think it's important to say that bars and restaurants, hospitality, don't have to, that they are not requiring that you have a digital COVID cert. You can show alternative means of proof. So if you're from the US and you have a certificate from your doctor or a letter saying I've been vaccinated, you can use that within Ireland in the hospitality sector. And also you can use that in most countries in the EU. However, check reopen.europa.eu before you go to those countries. Most countries will accept an alternative form of proof, and most countries will accept the HSC cardboard certificate thing that they give you when you get vaccinated as well. And certainly the Irish authorities will certainly accept that to come back into the country.
That's reassuring. And another question I have specifically from my own sister, who's a resident in the Netherlands with her partner there, and they plan to actually return to Ireland in August for the first time, and they have now been fully vaccinated. They have their digital COVID certificate. They want to know when they return. They want to be reassured. I suppose they'll have no problems. They won't be sent to quarantine in a hotel. Once they have their certificate, should they be okay? But again, I'm guessing they should be cautious at the same time.
Yeah, Dave, 100%. If you're coming from the Netherlands or any EU country into Ireland and you're vaccinated, you're not going to have to do a test, and you're not going to have to go to mandatory hotel quarantine or home quarantine either. You can simply come back. And it means, like, the big change from the 19th of July was that somebody visiting from the EU could take a short trip in Ireland without having to isolate, because the isolation rules really meant that you couldn't have a short trip. If you followed the rule properly, it meant you had to stay at home. So, you know, you had the 14 days and, you know, you couldn't do a short trip. Whereas now you actually can. You can come over for a few days and visit and go back. You can have a holiday. And what it means is it's not just about holidays. It's about families getting reunited. A lot of people had, like yourself, you got your sister living in the Netherlands, but a lot of people would have relatives living in the UK, and they really had been separated from them for a long time. So the COVID cert means that that different European countries can have a sense of security that the people entering their country are safe, have been vaccinated or have been tested or have recovered, and that they can afford to de-restrict the rules a little bit before they come in. So it's really kind of reopened travel, and you can see that in the numbers. There are many more people now going through the airport, but they're doing it in a safe way.
Absolutely. And I also spoke to Siobhan O'Donnell from Dublin Airport, who said the numbers are gradually beginning to rise now, which is great to see. And you're absolutely right. My sister's trip is only for a few days, and that wouldn't have been possible a few months ago. I'm guessing as well that they should be cautious when returning, just to check the Dutch requirements when they fly back, just to make sure nothing has changed in the meantime.
Yeah. So what your sister needs to do is check reopen.europa.eu and to have a look at that website and see, have the rules changed before she goes back? Have the Dutch changed any rules? Are they insisting on, you know, a PCR test or something or whatever? Just make sure that everything's okay before you go. It's another thing to check before you go. But if you check that, you've got a degree of certainty that you're going to be okay.
And something you just mentioned to me earlier, obviously when we think of the digital COVID certificate, we think of travel, but you've also mentioned restaurants and cafes mm-hmm. and other indoor facilities. So are a lot of places accepting this as a way of proving you've been vaccinated?
Yeah, so in the last 2 days, so since Monday, you've been able to go into inside in a bar or a restaurant or a hotel and get served. And in the last 2 days, I tried it twice, and both times they asked me for two things. One is to prove that I have a certificate. And secondly, they asked for my ID to make sure that the name, that I hadn't just borrowed my friend's certificate, because this is not an identity document. It doesn't have a photograph on it. So there's nothing to say that I didn't just get this from a friend. So they check your name. And in both cases, they did check my name against the name that's on the certificate. And also you can get, there's a website produced by the government that has a scanner built into it. And if you put that on your phone and point it at the certificate, it will scan the certificate and say whether the certificate is valid or not. Now at the moment for indoor dining, it's a little different from travel because they're not accepting test certificates yet. So at this stage, only vaccinated and recovered people can go inside at the moment. But that's an initial phase one thing. As soon as it's organized and they feel it's safe, then people who are tested will be allowed into restaurants as well and cafes. So that's the situation there.
Okay, so this weekend, for example, I intend to bring my family for our first meal out on a trip to the cinema. Mm-hmm. We're very excited. So I should bring not only my certificate, but some ID, photo ID as well, just to make sure that I am actually the person.
You're absolutely right. So every person in your group is going to have to show their identity. And, you know, it probably won't be 100% of the time they're checked, but I was certainly checked the last two times that I went out. So you do need to bring ID with you, which is something new in Ireland. You never had to bring ID to the restaurant. It is a temporary measure.
And we'll have, for example, a 7-year-old child with us, obviously, who hasn't been vaccinated. They will be able to come with us, will they?
The children can go with their parents. I think it's under 18s can go with their
okay.
parents.
Okay, excellent. And just you've mentioned the website a few times now, which is great, and we'll put the link to that. Is there also a digital COVID certificate helpline?
There is, yeah. There are two numbers for it. Again, I'll leave that to you to put on the screen.
Yep.
But there's a digital COVID cert helpline, which is run by the Department of Health. And really that's what that is for, is if your medical records are wrong on your COVID cert, so for example, they have your wrong date of birth or name, or if they just don't have your information, they vaccinated you, but it wasn't in the computer, or it went to the wrong address or the wrong email address, that you need to ring up and get your medical records corrected. So the Department of Health is running a helpline, and that is the way that you can have your number, your details corrected. And so I think I just want to say about that the helpline has been overloaded with calls. I guess everybody wants to have their COVID cert, even if they're not traveling, maybe they're thinking I'd like to have it to go out for dinner or whatever. And so that the helpline has been overloaded with calls, and I've heard many reports of people waiting many hours to get through to have their data corrected. And I apologize for that. And I'm sorry that the helpline has been making people wait so long. I think that we have a 2.5 million people got their COVID cert. There are a small number where the data was wrong and it needs to be fixed. And it was always going to have to be fixed with those data problems. And I think a lot of them date back to the initial rush to vaccinate people as quickly as possible without collecting the data correctly. So those errors are being corrected. Thousands of new certs are being sent out every day. And I certainly expect that in the future that the service for correcting your details on your COVID cert will be a lot faster than it is at the moment, because I accept and understand that it's not acceptable at the moment.
And I imagine that the staff on those lines are working very hard. And indeed, I saw at the vaccination centres, I think when this all comes to some kind of an end, we owe a great thanks to a lot of people. I saw the vaccination centres just so well run, and people really going above and beyond, I think, to get us through this, which is great to see in a way.
And you would have seen a lot of volunteers at those centres as well, and it has been an amazing thing, and it has protected people, and we have had a lot of public acceptance of vaccinations, where we had a very high take up. And a very high take-up, not just from older people, but there are a lot of young people looking to get vaccinated too. So I think that, for me, I feel that this is a route out of this pandemic, and that we're going to reach a point where we can return to a more normal life where we can have more socializing. We're a very social country, and we're a country that's very keen on crack and, you know, social interaction and spending time with each other. And it is not, it's not our culture to be isolated and separated from each other. And the sooner we can get back to a normal level of socializing, the better. Here we are meeting on a Zoom meeting, and that's fine some of the time, but it's just, it's nowhere near as good. Some of the time you need to meet up in person as well. And the sooner that we can get back to meeting up in person, the better. And I think that the vaccination is the route to that, and we're nearly there.
Absolutely. And in the Fingal Libraries, we organise a lot of events for the public, for children, for all age groups, all types. And we're really looking forward to that human contact again. We've run some fantastic events online, and a lot of library staff in Fingal and around the country indeed have really gone above and beyond and used their own skills to teach yoga and read stories. And it's been magnificent. But we just can't wait to actually be face-to-face with people again. Yes. And I know Kira in Blanchardstown Library met her book club outdoors for the first time recently, and it was a wonderful thing, and the people really got a lot out of it. So, you know, I think we're there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think we're coming into a more positive time here, and I think you can feel it. It's beginning to, you know, people are feeling more optimistic.
Yeah, I certainly am.
So to finish up, I've had a question from the member of the public. It's quite a technical one, and that I had to ask for clarification myself. And it's linked in, I suppose, to the GDPR privacy, encryption, and especially with what's happened with the HSE recently. It's quite an important point to make. And the person asks, I'm wondering how the cryptography behind the digital signature works, mainly what the message is, and how is the message being the personal details, how is that hashed with the vaccination centre's private key to produce the digital signature? And they say, I assume it's detailed similar to what's on your passport, but I'd like to know for sure. So I suppose they want to know what details are being kept there and how it's being encrypted.
Yeah, so it's a good question. The information in the QR code is the same as the information that's printed on the certificate. So you'll see on your certificate, it's got your name, and it has your date of birth, and it has the type of vaccine that you received, if it's a vaccination cert, and which dose it was, and what date you got your second dose, and which country issued the vaccination cert. So all that information is encoded in those black and white dots in the QR code. And also it's digitally signed. So using public-private key cryptography, which is the strongest form that you can find, and it's virtually unbreakable, that means that the government has signed that information, and the Irish government says that this information is correct, that this person with this name at this date of birth has received this vaccine, and it is not something that you can fake. So you could photocopy a cert, and you could change the name that's printed on it somehow, you know, with Photoshop, but you couldn't change that QR code to a version that would scan properly. And that's the assurance that we have when we're scanning one of these things, that this is actually signed by the Irish government, and that the Irish government says this is the health record of this person that's named. So there's no other information stored in there. So for example, there isn't a passport number, there isn't a PPS number. It's just a name and a date of birth are the only identifying information that you can then use to compare with a name and a date of birth on another identity document like a driver's license or a passport or whatever. So when you go along to the restaurant, for example, they need to compare the name and date of birth with the name and date of birth on your identity document. So that's what's stored inside it. And also just to say that all that information is stored within that QR code. So when it's scanned, it's not as if the person scanning it looks up your record in a database somewhere. It's actually all on that sheet of paper. It's all within those dots. The scanner doesn't even have to connect to the internet. It can read it all off the sheet of paper. So that's just to tell you, that's how your information is managed. And the pubs and the restaurants have been told that they're not to make any record of who they've scanned. They're not supposed to collect the information, and neither are the airports or the airlines. So the information is there to be scanned and then to give a result that says yes or no, this person is okay or not okay. But there's no sense that you would collect information on people and store it somewhere. Does that answer your question? I think it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for clarifying that. And thank you for speaking to me this morning. That I've learned a huge amount, and I hope the people who watch this video will learn a lot. I think the key takeaway is visit the website. We'll put the link below and do your homework before you're traveling anywhere. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me, Minister. I'm really grateful, best of luck with everything else.
My pleasure to talk to you today, and best of luck with everything. I hope you have a good experience when your sister comes to visit from the Netherlands with her COVID cert from the Dutch, and that she gets home fine. And also, I hope that you enjoy your meal when you go out for a meal, and you can actually eat indoors if it's raining. And you'll be fine. So look, thanks very much.
Thank you for that, Minister.
Cheers.